you have your Bibles, go ahead and let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll get to that verse in a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We have taken a perspective throughout this with the COVID situation, with the pandemic, with the stay-at-home, whatever you want to call it, shut-ins, lock-ins, house arrest, anything you want to choose. By choice. I haven't got started yet, so we're trying. But one of the things that the Lord has, it's just, I think, in my DNA. I don't like accepting things just because they appear that way. I believe that the Bible's given us authority, a right through the Word of God and our position, our relationship with Jesus, that we don't have to accept things just because they come down the river. Just because they knock on the door, you don't have to answer. Just because they're calling, you don't have to answer the phone. It's amazing. Have you ever done that where on your phone, I'll be eating the other day, I was eating dinner with my family and my phone was over a distance away and it started ringing. My wife's like, your phone's ringing. I said, okay. She's like, you're going to get it? I said, no. You're not going to answer? I said, no, I'm eating dinner with you right now. I'll get it later. We don't have to be servants to this, because and many times the phone will ring. Have you ever noticed if the phone rings and if I don't have the ID or don't know who it is or it comes across unknown, I don't answer it. In fact, you get on these crazy lists, and nowadays, and there's no irony to this, but just that I get calls, and instead of getting sales calls, you get pre-recorded sales calls. And now it's gone so far on my phone, I don't know what list I got on, but now I get pre-recorded sales calls from people in China. So I don't even understand what they're trying to sell me. Have you got one of those yet? So I bought an app which is supposed to block all of those calls because I don't even need to waste time not answering the call. I would like to have the ability to where it will do it for me and filter it through. Come on, somebody. And I'm telling you, there's a place where when the enemy tries to get your attention and distraction, just because there's somebody out there trying to distract you doesn't mean you even have to be distracted to notice it. We can walk in this level of God's presence and His Word that we can see it, but it doesn't stop you. Big people with big destinies don't need to be stopped or delayed by little people, little mindsets, little words. Someone said, I don't like what you said. And some people will spend 3 days crying over the rejection that someone gave them a thumbs down. Instead of saying, oh, that's their choice. They can choose. Let people choose what they want to choose. Jesus didn't stop ministering because someone in the Pharisees or Sadducees didn't agree or didn't like with them. Are you listening to me? We have to come to a place of maturity that our value system is not defined by those around us, but the Jesus on the inside of us. And when we say, if I'm doing and you're doing what God's called you to do, if everybody be for you, great. But if they're against you, who cares? Because if they're all against you, the Bible still says, greater is He that is in you than he that is around you in the world. If God be for you, who can be against you? Stay with me. If there is no, where's the old songs we used to sing? If none go with me, I'll still follow. You bring that modern day, it's like, I'll follow as long as I get enough likes and people retweet it or people share it or people maybe restream it. No, you have to come to a place in destiny that God, I will follow you, the light of what you reveal to me, even if it's not popular. Thank you for the four people. The rest of you are still working on getting that. I am a three away from getting 10,000 followers. Good for you. What does that mean for you? We can have the world follow us, but if we're not following Him, we miss out. And part of the thing I'm trying to draw attention to is just because the devil's knocking doesn't mean you have to accept what he's offering. You have a choice, Matthew 18:18. Please challenge everything I say with the Word of God. Don't take one thing I say for granted. Don't accept it because I said it, because at the end of the day, in the battles of life, in the storms of in life, it's not going to be what Pastor Greg said. You have to know what the Bible says. And when you understand, I challenge you to challenge it, because I'm a firm believer that if I can get you to either like it or dislike it enough to look into it, I'm telling you, it's in the phase of challenging it that you're going to grow and learn and remember it. And we can, just because the devil throws a symptom doesn't mean you have to accept the bill. Just because it looks like it, it doesn't have to rattle your cage. Just because your boss or a doctor says, ooh, I need to talk to you. You'll spend 5 days stressed out and made your blood pressure double up just because you were overwhelmed what he might say. And all of a sudden they come in and say, hey, just let you know you're doing great. And you spent 4 days worrying and stressing. That's not from God. God wants you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So that if the winds blow, if the storm beats against your house, you still stand because your life is based on obeying the instruction of the word of God that he's revealed to you. And you know that as you stand there, there will be times of opposition. There will be times of pressure. And your physical emotions might not say, yay, but on the inside, there's a deep peace. And you know you're on the right path. And you have pressed toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Like Jesus, the Bible says, you're looking to the prize. You are looking. You endure the shame. You are enduring the pressure. You are resisting the opposition because you have your eye on the prize. If you believe that, give me an amen. You have to see something different than what you see in front of you. Faith is a substance, Hebrews 11. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things seen, not seen. That not seen refers to what you can't see in your natural perspective. It doesn't mean you can't see it. You have to get a discernment to see what God wants you to see. Because later in that chapter, it talked about these men and women of faith all have died, not having obtained it, but having seen it afar off. What did they see? They saw that they were not of this world, that they were brought into another kingdom. They were brought into another family. They were citizens of another nation. They recognized that they were not of this world, though they were in this world, that they had sin. That's what an ambassador is. An ambassador is someone who lives in another country, but his citizenship is back home. Stay with me. And an ambassador, he might be, and we have, and other nations do this, we have ambassadors all over the world. When I go to the Philippines, one of the things practically you want to look for is where's the embassy? You want to know because the embassy represents American soil. This side, you're in their country. Now you're in your country. Right here, you're in their country. But once you cross that line, it's your country. Right here, you have no rights. Over here, you have your constitutional rights. It's just a line. It doesn't seem any different. But over here, the jurisdiction is different. And right here, the authority and jurisdiction is totally different. It's American. And that ambassador who lives in another country never becomes a citizen of the country he lives in. He's a citizen of the country he came from. And so he can live in these countries that are poor. But the ambassador doesn't live poor. They all might be living on rice, but the ambassador doesn't live on rice. Why? Because his supply doesn't come from around him. His supply comes from where he's a citizen at. If he wants a steak, he doesn't say, oh, there's no steak in our community. He calls home and says, I want you to ship me a steak. I want to have steak. And they do it. Why? Because his source is not around him. His source comes from where he's a citizen. Stay with me. You are a citizen of heaven. Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Bible says that you are kings and priests. You are an ambassador of God on this earth, which means what's going around you doesn't have to happen within you. What is happening to your neighbor doesn't have to happen in your house. You have a right, Matthew 18:18, that what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You have a will. You have a choice. And because you're a child of God, you have the ability to exercise that choice. So we've positioned ourselves that even at the beginning of this, when they told us all we needed to do is stay at home for 14 days to break the curve and change it all, flatten it out, and how many days later we find ourselves. I'm not here to be political, because there's a lot of different motivations happening. But what I'm telling you is that our posture, our position is that if you go through something, don't go through it, grow through it. That this can be your season. This can be your season of advancement, your season of success. You can say, Pastor, you don't understand. Growing. Listen, in the natural, this is not the season for promotion. In the natural, this is not the season to start up a new ministry or start up a new business. In the natural, this is not the season to see your income increase and not decrease. In the natural, everybody's trying to hoard and keep to themselves. But when you begin to include God, if God is for you, we got to get back to this Bible. Do we believe the truth of this word of God? If Jesus is alive, and if he was resurrected, and if God can do all, and that Ephesians 1 tells us that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know the exceeding greatness of his power toward those who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him up on high, far above, far above, far above all principality and power and every name that has a name. We can shout at that, but it didn't stop there. Remember, we talked about this earlier. He connected you, the church, the child of God, to him, and you are seated in heavenly places with Christ. That whole verse even talks about that everything's under his feet. You are his body, and in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm telling you, God has elevated Jesus. Didn't just resurrect Jesus. He brought him up to a high position, and then connected you. And that's why Romans 5 talks about because of Jesus, you are called to reign in life. That means you are called to be a king and a priest in this life. You are called to have authority, not controlling other people, but to have control in your world, where when the enemy knocks on your door and says, I'm bringing a sickness, say, nope, not here. I'm bringing a financial problem. Nope, not here. Oh, all of us, some of you had an itch in your nose because the allergies, and you thought you had COVID and ran over to the urgent care to find out. Only to find, no, you're not going to react in panic and fear. That's not you, man of God, woman of God. You are men and women of faith. You are strong in the Lord. Are you listening to me? I'm going to speak to your destiny and not to your history. I'm speaking into your destiny and not to your history. God doesn't call you by your history. He speaks into your destiny, and he'll call a fatherless guy, Abraham, a father of multitude. He'll take a man who is the weakest of his family and call him a mighty warrior. Why? Because he doesn't speak to your history. He speaks to your destiny. If you are saved, your history is history. Behold, all things are made new. You are strong in the Lord. 2 Thessalonians, your faith is growing exceedingly. You are called to dominate in your world. You're not called to be passive. You're not called. Quit singing, Jesus, take the wheel. He doesn't want the wheel. He wants you in the car of your life, driving the car. Well, isn't he Lord? Yeah, you get from heaven the direction of the car, and then you put into action the plans of God. What is that doing? That is honoring God. That is glorifying God. John chapter 15, verse 17, 16. This is what gives the Father glory, that you produce much fruit. I speak over your life that you are a big time, listen to me, you are a big time producer in the kingdom of God for the glory of God. I'm speaking down to your children's life, your family, your children. Your household are big time producers in the kingdom of God for the glory of God. Your neighbors are wondering, how did you raise such a great family, Mom? You know, it's just not you, it's Jesus. You've been speaking the word. You are a big time producer in the kingdom of God for the glory of God. Give the Lord a shout of praise if you believe that. We have not shown up to make peace. We have not shown up to get everybody to agree with us. We have come to do the will of our Father. We have come to obey God. If it was all about let's get along, Jesus should have tried it, but he didn't. He called the religious leaders snakes, children of the devil. That didn't go over too well. But God has, Romans 5, God has destined you. That was Genesis 1. Given man authority. And yet the enemy tries to keep us from authority. And he tries to lock us back into sin. And God's given this, we're going to talk a little bit more about this idea about grace, because grace, I believe, has been misinterpreted. Most people think of grace of only it's just salvation. Some people think of grace because books that others have written, and again, challenge, I don't care if they're on TV or written several books, or how many followers they have. I remember being on a plane once, just to start a conversation with this guy next to me, and find out he was come out of the Mormon religion. And maybe you've been there. I know people that I know that I value as an individual that are part of that. But I will also tell you that, in my opinion, it's a cult. If that offends you, I'll pray for you. Pray for me. We're all good. But he was convinced that he was right and the Christian church was wrong. I said, "Why do you think?" He goes, "Oh, because we have a lot of followers. And we're also in the Fortune 500. So all of a sudden, he defined success and being right by how many people agreed with them. Well, that don't always work. Because last time I looked, there's a lot of people going to hell, but that doesn't mean it's right. Just because someone's on TV and is preaching something doesn't mean it's right. Challenge it. And there's one teaching out there that grace is literally that because of the love of God and the grace that it affects and relates to, obviously, our forgiveness and us being saved, that you can live any way you want. It don't matter if you committed adultery last night. You don't need to repent because it's already taken care of because of grace in advance. And I'm here to tell you that's heresy. That's wrong. You don't have to take my word for it. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1. It says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul says, God forbid. God doesn't want you to use freedom to go back into imprisonment. You don't, it's getting quiet here. Okay, you know, now I got to stay here longer. See, that was just a passing thought, but now you just say amen and we keep moving on. It's too late now. I'm not using that as a move on. We're going to stay. But God has called you not to be imprisoned by anything. He's given you dominion in your world. That means nothing should dominate you. Sin should not dominate you. Pressure should not dominate you. Sickness should not dominate you. Fear should not dominate you. Demons should not dominate you. No, you are called to dominate. God has not created mankind to live under slavery, natural or spiritual. Can I get an amen to that? And if you're there, I'm here to give you a message of hope that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And you can be free from that. You're not a bad person because you're in it. You're a real person. But in the name of Jesus Christ, be free in the name of Jesus. Be free by the blood of Jesus. Be free ever, ever bit whole, spirit, soul, and body. God's giving you the right to have dominion. God's giving you the right to have authority. God's giving you their right, but sin will try to creep in, and that's why God's grace not only saves you, but empowers you. That's why Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. But we have to understand a little bit more of what this idea of grace is. Grace is a powerful thing. Grace is powerful. 2 Corinthians, it's used as a greeting so many times in the Bible, but it's more than a greeting. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and says, and God is able, notice this, and God is able to make all grace abound. Stop for a second. So now we know grace is not just one static thing that happens to us at salvation. But here he's talking to the Corinthian church, people already saved. It says, you as a Christian, God is able to make that grace abound. Why would I need God's grace to abound? I'm already saved. Because it's so much more than just the beginning. There's more to this. Say, there's more to this. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, notice this, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may what? Abound to every good work. Notice that, so that you can have sufficiency. That means financial, more than enough. Not enough, more than enough. Say more than enough. Notice in all things, say all things. That means more than enough in your finances, more than enough in your ideas, more than enough in your creativity, more than enough in your connections. Oh, if I just knew somebody, you do, you know Jesus and he connects you, and in your networking, you can have more than enough. Say more than enough. I wish I knew somebody of influence. You do, you know Jesus and he can connect you to other people of influence because in all things, he is your sufficiency. Say more than enough. Notice also that you also may abound to every good work. You don't hear that preached a lot. A lot of times, well, at least you try. No, it's not good enough for you just trying. God is empowering you. I like to think enabling you, empowering you, so that you have sufficiency and you have victory in what you put your hands to, Psalms 1:3, and everything you put your hands to is blessed or prosperous. God wants you to be able to do something that nobody else could do in the natural. Because if you can do what everybody else is doing, you stand in the crowd. But if you can do what nobody else can do because of God, then you stand out in the crowd. And if you stand out in the crowd, then people want to know, how did you do that? That's why I say you're a billboard of God's goodness. Where do I get that? 1 Corinthians 15:57, 2 Corinthians 2:14. It talks about you become an aroma of God's goodness. David didn't kill Goliath because it was easy. David killed Goliath because of God, and nobody else could do it. But David went from a shepherd, the lowest position in the economy of scales, to being having sung about him and was going toward the kingdom as king, the top position of all. Why? And we don't do stuff trying to get ahead. We do stuff to obey God. David just didn't say, oh, I'm going to do this. It'll make me look good and they'll sing songs. He wasn't worried about that. The priority was, that's where people get messed up. They start looking for the marketing side. The priority was, I'm going to do, there's a cause here. Is there not a cause? He understood that Goliath was uncircumcised Philistine, which means he was the enemy outside of covenant. He had no right to attack the army of God. And if he was going to attack the army of God, then he had the right because he knew God would deliver him. And he said that, the same God to the king. He said, King, the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will be the same God who delivers me from the hand of this Philistine, uncircumcised Philistine. What was he saying? I'm going to charge because I know God has my back. I'm going to go out there because I know I'm not alone. I'm going to do this because I realize, and all of a sudden you come to the New Testament and you can do all things through Christ. You don't run and do your thing. That's where Christians get messed up. They come up with their ideas and do their thing instead of waiting for the God thing out of the Word of God in relationship with the Lord. And when the Holy Spirit reveals what you're supposed to do from the Word of God and you charge it, it many times will look impossible. Many times it will stretch you. God's not trying to help you get comfortable. He's trying to get you to the next level of destiny. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. Out of darkness into the glorious light. He's calling you. He's stretching you into the image of Christ. He wants you to grow, and that means you got to take a step. And sometimes it's a little step. Sometimes it's a big step. And many times as you grow in the things of God, it'll be things that you've never done before. And sometimes nobody's wanting to take on, but something stirs on the inside of you, and that's the anointing and the Spirit of God. And he's saying on the inside of you, you can't let this go by. Not on your watch. Somebody has to do something. You can't sleep good if you know this is going on. God is able to make all grace abound. See, I like to think it this way. Grace includes the unmerited favor of God. It includes the forgiveness in Jesus coming. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It includes that, but it still also includes the empowerment, the enablement of God. That's why we tell you on a regular basis, and I say it over and over and over, because Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. That the Bible tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I'll say it also this way, not only don't be conformed to the world, don't be conformed to the church world. Because you can begin even in the church world, good people, sincere people that love God sometimes misunderstand. And you can live what appears to be the Christian life, but there's no revelation from the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Therefore, you have no strength to do what you're trying to do. And so you are mustering all your physical energy to do a spiritual exercise, a spiritual discipline, a spiritual goal. And when you are trying to do it on your own, it does not make it. You will exhaust yourself. You will overwhelm yourself. You know what I mean? We have to come to the reality that if I'm going to do it, it might be inviting your neighbor to church. It might be spending time time in prayer. It might be tithing and get whatever it might do. You have to do it with the enablement of God. That means you get a revelation from the Spirit of God, of the Word of God. And when you get a revelation and that transforming work, it not only gives you a new idea and perspective and changes you around, but it also empowers you to do it. That's why it's dangerous to even in the kingdom of God to try to change ranks because you think you deserve it. You can get to a rank by a title. You can get to a rank by a vote. You can get to a rank by the approval of people. But if it's not God's timing for you, you will be standing on your own. And the pressure of the situation can be overwhelming. There's many pastors, men and women of God, that are good people but jumped ahead of God. And on the scenes, they look great. Behind the scenes, they're miserable and overwhelmed. Why? Because they're doing in the natural what God wants them to do by the spiritual side. But when God's in it, say, when God's in it. I'm telling you, my friend, when God said, even in the financial blessing, the Bible says, and God said, that you will remember it as me that's given you power to get wealth, and I will not add any sorrow to it. You do it God's way. It's not always the fastest way. It sometimes seems like the slower way, but you do it God's way because he's not only trying to get something to you, he's trying to develop you so that you can handle it. I'm tired of watching, and I love biographies and watching stories of people's lives, but I'm tired of watching stories of people that seem like they succeeded and a few years later implode under the pressure. I mean, all of a sudden they get money or get fame and they just wreck their own life. They don't even need a demon. They don't even need bad friends and bad people. It's like all of a sudden they just get something, they get fame or power or money. And the thing is, the problem is not the fame or power or money. God wants you in those positions of their influence, their positions, their tools, so you can make a difference. But if you do it without God, all of a sudden the devil starts whispering of things that he tries to lure you into that you've never been before. And you get enticed, Matthew 13 tells us. And all of a sudden you stop producing fruit because you were enticed beyond the place of grace. Too many people trying to compete and compare. Man, I wish I was like that. You might not want to be like that because right there behind the scenes, you don't know what like that is. That's why I like living transparently, living a transparent life, because I never have to stop before I talk and go. You want to know one good thing about always telling the truth and never lying? You don't have to remember anything. I don't have to remember what I told you last time. Don't matter if you don't lie. Come on, somebody. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have an all sufficiency and all things may abound in every good work. It's more than salvation. But you must do something to receive it, but you can't do anything to earn it. Let me say that again. This whole grace thing and empowerment. You must do something to receive it. Salvation, same way. Ephesians tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. And that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. But James tells us the faith without works is dead. Romans tells us we have to believe with the heart and confess with our mouth. Romans also tells us that those who call upon the name. So there's something we have to do to receive it, but nothing we can do to earn it. Stay with me. When I understand that context, then I begin to understand where God wants to take you. It's not something you do to earn it, but something you must do to receive it. And when you begin to understand that position, it's not to keep you dangling on the outskirts of failure and trying to survive. It's to bring you to a place of victory. And Paul himself said, I am what I am because of the grace of God. Man had revelation and wrote majority of the New Testament. He recognized that it was the empowerment of God, regardless if he was in the palace writing or in the pit or in prison. That the surrounding circumstances cannot label you. You are who you are, not based. Now listen, God wants you blessed. I'm a firm believer. God wants you healed. I'm a firm believer. God wants you successful and victorious. God wants you to have joy and peace. I'm a firm believer. But the stuff around you can't define you. who you are is defined by the value of God. See, I am who I am because of Jesus. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do? 2 Peter, are you still with me today? You okay? You have no place to go anyway. I mean, this is the first chance you've been out in months. What are you going to do? Oh, lighten up. 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice this. Grace and peace be what? Multiplied. So now we can see grace not only can increase in your life, grace can be multiplied in your life. And we see in this context, unto you through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That word in the Vine's dictionary says the word knowledge there, it's a greater participation by the knower in the object known, thus more powerfully influencing him. Let me read that again. This is out of Vine's dictionary, of that word knowledge, through the knowledge of God. It is a greater participation by the knower, that's you, in the object of the known, that's God. Thus more, you being more powerfully influenced by him. People who are not influenced by God really don't know God. Because Daniel says, those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. If you know him, that I might know him, Paul says. To experience, to know him, you will be influenced by him. Go back to that verse, 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. James says it this way. Draw near to God. Have you heard that verse? Draw near to God. Not just when you feel like it. Draw near to God. Not when it's convenient because you're hungry. Draw near to God. Even when you don't feel, I mean, some of us know how to eat when we're not physically hungry. Oh, it's the time. But we can sometimes snack on the word of God here and there. But if you want to experience him, you got to get hungry for God, folks. I'm not giving you a time frame, an hour, 15 minutes. It's all different for different people at different levels. I can't ask a baby who's learning how to walk to go run a marathon. I can't believe that baby can't walk from this side to that side. She's a baby. She's at her level of development. See, we don't look for perfection. We look for progress. But if you're 20 and you can't walk from this side to that side, we maybe need to look at some issues that might be you're dealing with. But if you're only one, you say, well, she's learning to take a step. Every step counts. Every step moves in the right direction. Do you get my point? Do you get my point? So we need to have a desire where we're pursuing God out of our heart, not competing and comparing, but at the level we're at and keep growing. And by doing that, we begin to position ourselves. In 2 Peter, notice it also says, chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because as I'm growing in that knowledge, as I'm growing in revelation, guess what I'm also growing in? The grace of God. Being multiplied to your life so that when you have the opportunities of God, as Ephesians tells us, to redeem the time or redeem the God opportunities, whatever it might be, when God shows you what to do, even if it looks like not a great opportunity in the world, when God tells you to jump, jump. When God tells you to step out of the boat, step out of the boat. When Jesus calls you, respond. Do you hear me? You can't look around and say, well, I'm a fig tree and this is not the season. No, when Jesus showed up for figs, he expected that tree to produce. The master comes expecting the servant to do what? What they're asked to do. Jesus said, if you love me, then do what I ask. Don't try to do what I've asked others. Do what I've asked you. Peter, and I'm trying to close, Peter, after the resurrection, and Jesus is working with Peter, and he's bringing restoration back to Peter, and Peter begins to go through this whole process. Peter begins to ask, well, what about this disciple? What about this? And Jesus corrects him and say, listen, if I ask him to live a life without being a martyr. What's that to you? Greg Bruce translation. If I'm asking him with a different destiny, different assignment, what's that to you? You don't get to pick other people's destiny and call it your own. Focus on the prize of what God's called you to. Paul says, forget those things which are behind. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. And when you do, just grow in the knowledge. Begin to bring. You're not going to be a fanatic. Oh, I know somebody who read the Bible a lot and they became weird. They were weird before Jesus. I'm just telling you, Jesus doesn't make people weird. They were weird before. They're just using Jesus as an opportunity to get attention and show their weirdness. Jesus doesn't make you weird. Jesus makes you better. Life gets better in every area of your life when Jesus is on the throne of your life. It doesn't mean you don't deal with storms and challenges. Don't get me wrong. But Jesus now doesn't make people weird. Begin to bring the word into your life. Saturate your life with the word of God. Whatever that means to you, pursue, take another step. And as you are in the word, the knowledge, start praying, Lord, I thank you for your grace today. Is being multiplied in my life. Multiply your grace in my spouse. Multiply your grace in my children. Multiply your grace. Why? Because I know sufficiency comes out of the connection of God's ability. I know success comes because whatever they do in alignment with the word of God, it will prosper. Say, thank you, Father, for your grace because you love me. I receive it today. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you would. Bowed and every eye closed, every head bowed and every eye closed. No one moving around, please. I'm going to take the next few seconds to pray with those who are watching from afar, those who are listening from the parking lot, and those who are in the room. Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Only you can answer that. And the way you perceive and the way you experience, the way you understand, you can know without a question, shadow, or doubt that number one, Jesus is alive, and number two, that he is your Lord and Savior. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. You don't go to heaven because you body. Perfect people don't go to heaven. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. So I'm going to pray a prayer. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. Let this prayer be what Romans 5 and Romans 10 is representing, that out of your heart you believe and out of the mouth you confess. Let the Holy Spirit just move. If you know something's, I'm not where I need to be. I know there's sin in my life. If that's you, this is your chance. Let's pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father. Let's say it together. Say, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart, the door of my life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. Amen, church. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.